I'd like to welcome into the studio somebody we have had a number of times and delighted to have her back, and that's Sharma Kroskoff. Sharma, how are you?
I'm good.
My movie's done.
And the movie we're talking about is?
Lighthouse Unmanned.
Lighthouse Unmanned. And just a quick background on the movie, on what that meaning is of Lighthouse Unmanned, because that title is significant.
Okay, the lighthouses across the world were dependent on an employee called a keeper. And they tended the light because they had to time it and keep it going. Well, when the computer came along, it was possible to put the control of the beacons in a centralized location.
Mm.
And what they did was they just, as the keepers put it, threw them all out.
Mm.
And basically they lost their home and their job.
Wow.
And their profession, and most of all, the respect in the community that they had lived with
their
lives.
Huge respect. They were the lifesavers as well,
yeah,
weren't they?
They were the first responders on the shoreline,
yep.
And most people didn't know that. And our goal with the movie is to make people aware of what the lighthouse keepers did, and also to honor them. Most of them are gone now, but they still need to be honored.
Oh, and absolutely.
We have got some movement going. We now have little bronze plaques that you can put on lighthouse keepers' graves, and some of their children are having ceremonies at the cemeteries honoring them. So
that's wonderful.
And we have two, Ireland and Scotland both, the governments are going to bring the movie over, and we're going to have a festival
to honor
lighthouse keepers.
Yes.
So I think we're doing a little bit of good.
And that's fantastic. Now, it started three years ago it started as an Indiegogo?
Five.
5 years. If we could show her face, it's like, oh, my Lord. 5 years of work. You began. Matter of fact, we had you on a show talking about an Indiegogo campaign
right.
at that time, a crowdsourcing. And that was the beginning of it. But you were able to get it all done at remarkably low budget.
Yeah, well, we had a couple of problems along the way. We did okay on Indiegogo and got the money that we needed for our lawyer and our accountant. But then the state of Michigan, in their wisdom, decided that the film incentives were no more.
Oh, that's right.
And we had to change lighthouses. We moved from a Michigan lighthouse to New York State.
Which one were you going to do in Michigan?
Point O'Barks.
Point O'Barks. That's right. I remember that from the beginning. Yeah.
Yeah. It was on the shore of Lake Huron. Dean and I are on our way up there for a vacation to see those people. I feel like we let them down, so I'm going up to talk to them.
You ended up in New York State, where they do have film incentives, don't they?
Very good film incentives in upstate New York, 45%. So we ended up in a place called Dunkirk, and the lighthouse is Dunkirk Lighthouse. And it's a beautiful, beautiful Victorian house. I mean, it does not look like a usual lighthouse.
Yeah, by the way, I posted on our homepage, if you go to internetadvisor.net, I got a picture of the Dunkirk Lighthouse that you can take a look at there. Now I'm just curious, where is it? It's on, Lake Ontario, am I right?
No, it's on Lake Erie.
Oh, it is on Lake Erie, okay.
It's about 40 miles south of Buffalo.
Okay.
In the snow district.
Right, yeah, lots of snow. Well, rather than go through all the details, the movie is finished. How long is it right now?
The movie itself?
Yeah, the movie itself.
It's an hour and 45 minutes.
Oh,
it's
great.
A feature motion picture, and that is a lot of work.
I bet.
I had to share that I had no idea how much work it was really going to be.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I thought about this the other day. If the computer hadn't existed, it would have been 10 times as more work.
I bet.
We used the computer. We used Skype to save money.
Mm-hmm.
We used all kinds of resources off of the computer. We communicated by the computer in email, which you would not have had if it hadn't. You know, the movie's about the damage the computer did to the lives of the keepers. And here we are using the computer to do the movie.
You guys understanding computers will probably get a kick out of this. During the break, you told us something about what happened when you tried to produce the video.
Okay. We just finished post-production, which is basically you take all of this film that we've gotten in the month that we were on location and put it into some kind of civilized order.
Mm-hmm.
And to do that, we filmed in 4K with a camera called a RED.
Oh, yes, I've heard of it, yeah.
And I didn't know that 4K was huge. And so I had to get a computer in my office to be able to look at this stuff. So I ended up, you were talking about gaming, I ended up getting built for me a computer.
Yeah, right.
But it was a gaming computer.
Sure, well, sure.
And had 12 cores in it.
12 cores in it. Okay.
Yeah, and the first one, it took 2 days for it to break down, and the motherboard went.
Oh, my Lord.
And this is the 4K. So, okay, they replaced it. They did another one for me and made it a little bit bigger. And it only took 4 days to go down. And I got to thinking, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
And then
I feel like singing a jingle of, you should have called Tom.
Well, I did go to some computer people in my area.
Yeah.
And they didn't know what to do either because 4K and we had all of this film. And then somebody told me about Dell's Alien. I'm working in Windows.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. It's a gaming computer, right?
Yeah. And
pretty big one.
And Dean loves it. He calls it Bob. And every morning I turn it on, it comes on. I mean, this is a major success. And what goes on during post-editing, and I wanted to talk a little bit about how the computer can actually help people who are doing movies, particularly independent.
Well, can I just say quickly what you're experiencing with producing an independent movie right now is what's happened to recording industry. For instance, when I started out in the 1980s, 1990s, there were huge studios around here making a lot of money editing audio, just audio, and then also video as well. They went out of business because a lot of that could be done by people, individuals in their homes.
Right.
With computers that they were buying off the shelf. And that's essentially what you were doing now with movies.
Yeah, there's a couple of things that I wanted to mention. I have a program called PowerDirector. It's made by CyberLink. It's the best movie editing software in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cheap, and it's on the internet.
Isn't that something? Yeah, there it is. Tom, you're...
Oh, yeah. Actually, we do a lot of video editing ourselves because we produce a lot of YouTube for my company, but we also built a lot of editing stations, and a lot of people don't realize what it takes to edit all that 4K video, the amount of storage you need, and redundant storage, because once you copy it, you don't want it all to fail. So when we build these workstations, I mean, they can be upwards of $4,000 or $5,000 for these people to edit all this 4K video.
Oh, yeah, and that's why when the iMac, which is the new power, if you will, iMac Pro is the new power Apple computer, was going to be running was a $5,000. That it seems outrageous, but in many ways, that's cheap for what's being done on it, right, Terma?
Yeah, I paid $3,000 for the two that broke down, and
each. Yeah, exactly.
And so when we got the Alien, which is kind of cool.
Well, I tell you what to do. I'm hearing some music in the background, and as Dean said, we hear the break music coming up. We're going to pause for just a second.
Okay.
When we come back, I want to hear you tell more of the story behind this great movie, which now, by the way, folks, it's in Toronto, I believe, at a festival up there. Lighthouse Unmanned. Sharma Krauskopf is with us. He's a director and executive producer. We'll be back in just a moment with more about how that came to be. Welcome back. It's the Internet Advisor. I'm Foster Brown. With me in studio, Kasten Thomas, and we've got Tom Lawrence as well. In the second hour, they're going to be pitching in a very important way and answering questions. And Sharma Krauskopf is with us. There's a number of titles around. You're director, I saw, and one. IMDb says you're the executive producer as well.
Right. Executive producer first, then director second.
And you're a screenwriter as well.
And I wrote the screenplay.
You did. Chief cook and bottle washer. You did the whole thing. We're talking, by the way, about a movie that you have heard us talk about on a number of occasions. It's called Lighthouse Unmanned, and it's about the heroes who became victims. That's one of the things.
Yeah, it's our tagline.
The tagline there. People who really were heroes in their communities and who became victims of the changes that happen in life. You know, in some ways, it's kind of interesting because we're seeing it happen now. Even, for instance, headlines now, Verizon is about to gobble up AOL and Yahoo, and they're going to be coming, it's going to be called Oath, 2,100 people lose their jobs.
And it's happening everywhere. Yep. That's one of the things that people had told us that was so timely about this movie. This movie, by the way, is a drama. It is a I wrote it. It is not based on real characters. It's based on some real facts.
Right, right.
But not real characters. So it's a feature drama. We had actors who were acting parts, and they were absolutely knockouts.
Oh, that's fantastic.
One thing I'm really proud of is the ensemble cast that played. We had two sets of keepers, and they were just absolutely wonderful.
Where it's in Toronto now at a festival?
No, it's not until September.
Oh, okay.
But the thing that's holding us distributing it up is that Toronto has to have world distribution rights to their movies. So we are in consideration in Toronto, which means basically that it's not going to happen till September. Mm-hmm. And then after September, we hope to be able to start distributing it. And we're going to start distributing in the Great Lakes area.
Oh, good, good.
The first place we're going to go, and that'll be right after Toronto because they're so close together, is Dunkirk so that they can see it.
Right, where the filming was done.
And then it will come here because this is where we are.
That's right.
And we want our friends and everybody to see it. So
the premiere will be in Dunkirk.
No, the premiere's in Toronto.
Oh, pardon me. The premiere's in Toronto, and then you're going to have a showing in Dunkirk. But you're going to kind of publicly launch it here?
Yes.
Okay.
So you'll be rolling out the red carpet here in Detroit.
Ooh.
Maybe. actually, the Michigan Theater in Jackson, near where I live, wants us to roll it out there.
Oh.
They're
kind of landlocked, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Seems like you need a coastal place to really display it.
Yeah, I think Detroit would be perfect. Anyway, the distribution will happen in two ways, and I think I want to say this. Number one is we might get a Hollywood distributor from Toronto. They come after the best movies there, and I mm-hmm. think we will be one of the best ones there. And
not a little prejudiced about that.
No, the Toronto staff told me that.
All right,
well,
great.
our story is a whole lot different than the stuff that's being put on the screen right now.
I bet it is.
You know, my wife and I have on our bucket list to visit all of the lighthouses in Michigan and all of the waterfalls.
Ooh,
and we go to these lighthouses, and the stories of the lightkeepers are just so inspiring.
They are.
Yeah, and people just don't know.
Yeah.
They don't understand that these guys, because there was not any communication, no computer, some of them didn't have telephones, they used radios, they just never got to tell their story. And so we're telling it for them. And we start off with a shipwreck to show it.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Well, they led a solitary life, so I imagine it was a little bit harder for some of that to really get out. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
their stories weren't shared.
A lot of people don't understand that these guys lived there. They were on 7 days a week, 24 hours
yeah,
a day.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't a part-time job. They didn't have. It wasn't a shift job.
And before the electric lighthouses, they had to carry the fuel to the lighthouse.
The wheel
that was dangerous.
The chain that worked like a pendulum that ran the lights or the beacons, and so it's a really exciting story. But I have a couple.
Hang on, Gary. I think you had something.
Well, I was just wondering if Cassin and his wife are going to visit all of the lighthouses in Michigan. Sharma, do you know how many lighthouses there are in Michigan?
I think right now there are 107 that are being shown by people. That most of them are, the lighthouses belong to cities or nonprofits,
right.
And they have done them up so you can see them. We have a lot of relic lighthouses, but they're not really considered as active ones.
And some of them have been taken over by private individuals. I know because between 1999 and 2002, I was part of a crew that shot a program called Great Lakes Ports of Call. And as part of that, we saw lighthouses like the Granite Island Lighthouse, which is in Lake Superior, north of... I'm thinking it's out in Lake Superior, and it's literally this big hunk of granite that somebody bought and was outfitting at that time to be his year-round residence, but it was the lighthouse.
Well, I know all about that. Dean and I owned a lighthouse in Scotland.
That's right, you did.
Oh, wow.
Hey, Gary, I have a question for you because you have just come back from a long cruise in the Caribbean. Now, you've sailed for a lot of years in Michigan, didn't you?
That's right. Over 28 years of sailing in the Great Lakes. Boy, have I come to be spoiled by the navigational aids that we have in the Great Lakes, because when you're looking at a chart and it says there's a red buoy here and a green buoy over there and a lighthouse here, you can count on that happening, or a range marker here, you can count on it being there. And 1,200 miles from the British Virgin Islands back here to Fort Lauderdale, I will tell you that we saw, you know, two-year-old chart, and there's supposed to be a buoy here, and there's no buoy for miles.
Oh, dear.
And in fact, we found that there was supposed to be a lighthouse on this point, and there wasn't the lighthouse. And we're going, that's got to be the point. No lighthouse. We got closer, and it was a steel frame lighthouse that had fallen over. Nobody put it back up. And, you know, so we are spoiled in the Great Lakes to having great navigational aids.
Yeah, and I bet around the rest of the world. Now, you mentioned the fact that Ireland and the Great Britain are also interested in the movie and having it there at some festivals to celebrate the lightkeepers.
Yeah, Ireland particularly. We've got two lighthouses in Ireland fighting over who's going to host it. But the idea basically is just to plant seeds.
Yeah.
So people will know that these guys did this, and they're gone now.
Yes, yeah.
And, you know, soon, you know, some of the people that we know and respect and have wonderful jobs, they're going to be gone too. And we should be more conscious to honor the people who are doing things like that.
You know, I don't know that we're going to have a lot of time to talk about all the details of what's going on, but I want you back for that premiere. You're going to come back in and talk about the premiere?
Yeah,
when
sure.
When that comes, I'm looking forward to that and hearing about it and publicizing it, and we've had the pleasure of letting people know about that all throughout these years as you've been putting this together. And since 5 years it took, huh?
Yeah. My hair was gray before I started, but it's grayer than it is now. But let me just say one more thing.
Sure, sure.
That is that the computer has made this possible.
That's true.
We made a movie that's an hour and 45 minutes long for under $100,000. And one of the reasons that we were able to do that is that we did all our casting by computer. We did a lot of the work that we did was done by computer. And one of the things that I wanted to point people towards is if you're into photography or into video, then the computer has access to all kinds of stock footage that can be used at home. And you can make your own little movie about your family or your grandchildren or whoever. Is the world has just changed.
You know, I wonder if, you guys comment on this quickly, we're getting close to the end of our time here, but I wonder if that is what has made Netflix and Amazon and some of these places that they produce their own movies so successful at that, because they can use those kind of resources to produce movies for a whole lot less than it used to cost.
Yeah, we hear about these millions that are spent by Hollywood on their movies. That's not necessary anymore.
You know, in some ways, I bet they don't want your little secret getting out. You only spent what?
And it's a big dynamic change in the market because it takes so little. You look at what it takes to get an entire production put together, and we look at someone who produces a YouTube channel. Some of the YouTube channels have as many as 12 million views, and they have only a few people running the entire show behind there.
And they haven't spent much either.
They haven't spent much to produce it.
That's astounding. All right, the movie is called Lighthouse Unmanned. We will keep you up with as much information as we can about when it's going to be premiering. But congratulations to you, Sharma.